Reading this morning is taken from the first chapter of Ephesians. Ephesians is written primarily with Jesus Christ as the focus, and Paul begins his first chapter here, the opening of this letter, speaking about the blessings, spiritual blessings that are in Christ. We're going to be reading through verse 10, in the first chapter. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth.
It's good to be here with you all. A little bit of a long flight in, but much better than a three-day drive. I can most definitely tell you that. When I was talking to the men, and I said, well, I could drive. They said, no, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that with your size of family. No, I've done it before to California. My parents are down in Huntington Beach. So we've made that trip a few times. But I want to begin this morning by thanking you for having us with you. We feel honored and privileged to be here to worship with the saints here in Ridgecrest, California. And we're so glad of the work that is being done here in the Lord's vineyard. And we pray always that that continues. And we give a special thanks to Justin and his family for enduring a large family. That's never easy, let me tell you. I know it. I've got the large family, and it's sometimes just in my own home it's enduring. No, I love them. But I'm so thankful for the hospitality that's been given there. And me, when I'm nervous to new people, sometimes I can tend to talk a lot. Can you believe that? A preacher talking a lot just doesn't sound right. But so they've put up with me so well, and I thank them so much for that and the blessing that they have been to us. And I just pray that through all that endures this weekend, those that we've got to meet, those that we look forward to meeting and getting to know you better through the course of this Lord's Day and while we are here, that all glory and honor and praise will be given to God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in all that we do for the furthering of His fruit here. Now I want to begin, though, this morning with asking everyone a question. And I don't want you to answer it aloud. I want you to raise your hand, okay? Is everybody okay with that, raising their hand? Okay. I want to know something this morning. I want to know who here does not want spiritual blessings from God. Go ahead, raise your hand. If you don't want spiritual blessings from God, raise your hand for me. Nobody's raising their hand. So I assume then that all here this morning want to receive spiritual blessings from God. Those of which we have been told we are deserving of. Those at which we get in being His children. In being disciples of Christ. Yet, so that's what I want to talk about this morning is the blockades to spiritual blessings. Because there are blockades that stop God's blessings from coming unto us. And we're going to look at five of these this morning, but we need to begin that of what we just read in Ephesians chapter 1. That we see that it is God's will and desire that we as His children be blessed. Most definitely as we see spiritually, but He wants us blessed in our lives. But we see there in verse 3 of Ephesians that it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us You and I, every one of us that are in Him, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, in whom? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yet, however, I want us to stop for a moment this morning and I want us to examine our lives. Honestly, take a look and stalk in our lives. How are we doing? Where are we at? Are we receiving the spiritual blessings that God desires of us to have? Are they in our lives? We often see that for one reason or another, that many times we are not blessed spiritually as we should be, as the Scripture says that His children are. And when this happens, the first thing we usually automatically do is point the finger at God and blame God and ask God, why haven't you given me my spiritual blessings? Brother and sister, so-and-so, I see them, they've got them. Where's mine, God? Where's my spiritual blessings? Rather than taking the blame ourselves and looking and saying, what is stopping God from giving me what He desires for me to have, what He longs for me to have, the whole reason He sent His only begotten Son to live, to teach, to be that example, and to die on that cruel cross for me. That He buried and broke the chains of death that could not hold Him. Raising from the dead, continuing His teaching, sending forth the great commandment to go forth and spread the gospel, and then to ascend into heaven to what? To prepare for us a place, even greater spiritual blessings, that eternal home in heaven. Why do we not turn around and take the blame on ourselves? The reason for this is when we accept the responsibility of the lack of spiritual blessings in our lives, we may realize that either sin is in our lives and preventing these blessings from coming unto us, or that we have a blockade somewhere, that we have a big road barrier stopping it, not allowing it to come unto us as we need. That in that, this blockade is somewhere. And either we have placed it there knowingly or unknowingly, but it is there. And it is preventing these blessings from God reaching us as we deserve them. So in view of this morning, in view of that there are blockades that are preventing at times in our lives the spiritual blessings that God wants to bestow upon us that we want so greatly to have, I pray, because when I asked the question a minute ago, nobody out here raised their hand that they didn't want spiritual blessings, that they wanted to be left out. And I assume everybody was telling the truth by not raising their hand in this. We need to see and consider what are these blockades. What are just a few of these blockades that are most common to stopping this in our lives. And we must be that of truly understanding where they are and the dangers that they face with us. And we need to be ready to remove them from our lives if we have them, and how we need to remove them so that we might be blessed as God desires for us to be blessed, and that we desire to receive these blessings from God. The first blockade, though, that we need to see is selfishness. The first blockade to preventing God from giving us the blessings that He desires for us to have and us receiving them is selfishness. That selfishness is a blockade to spiritual blessings. That selfish people, they what? They only think of themselves. It's me, 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 I want, I need, I deserve. It's all about me. They just think of themselves. That of what we even see in Luke chapter 12. There in verses 17 through 19. There beginning in verse 17 of Luke chapter 12 says, "And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops?" So he said, "Ha ha, I will do this." He has a great idea. The light bulb went off. He says, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and I will store all my crops and goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have many good things laid up for many years. Take your ease. Relax. Kick your feet up. Eat, drink, and be merry. But of course, we know if we continue reading there of the parable of the farmer that had that bumper crop year, what happened after this? Verse 20. Not knowing that and thought all things were secure and he was good for life. He had done everything. Not knowing his soul would be expected of him that night. That many times that can be us. That selfishness, when we're only thinking about ourselves and that we did this, we did that, before we know it, it can all be taken away from us. And that individuals who are selfish, they show a lack of love for others because they're more concerned with me, numero uno, number one, than those who are around them. We see there in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17 says, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? It does not abide in him is the problem. It does not abide in him. Because selfishness doesn't allow us to think about the needs for others. Because that means maybe I would have to take something of mine that I earn, that I work so hard for, to give to... I don't want to give to him or her. I don't... What? No. Yet, of course, the law of sowing and reaping is very applicable here. That we can use this, that of what we see in Galatians chapter 6, in verses 7 and 8, the beginning in verse 7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his own flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So in all that we do, folks, reflects what we receive. What we do, how we act, everything that we do. Can we think back to growing up? Even I don't care if you grew up in the church or not. Everybody I know says that their parents, at about an age that we started making dumb decisions, as all human beings do at some point. Parents sitting there and telling us and trying to explain to us that the decision that I make doesn't only affect me. Oh, no. It affects mom and dad, brothers and sisters. It affects the local church. It affects the local community, neighbors, coworkers. Wow, can you believe that? But a selfish person doesn't understand that. They don't understand that ripple effect that takes course. And they're so concerned with themselves and not others that they put up a barrier. They put up that blockade in not living the life that God calls of us to live, to be doing what we should be doing, to showing that love and desire, to be thinking about the seed that we're throwing out, we're going to get it back. These are blockades. These are things that are stopping us from receiving the blessings that God desires of us to have. So if we are selfish or there is selfishness in our lives, we need to remove it. We need to put ourselves last. Look at the Beatitudes. Those that are last shall be first in what? The kingdom of God in heaven. Some people think I don't even like to be first at the buffet line. And I love food, let me tell you. But in all things, I don't mind being last. It's good practice for what we need to be doing. To put ourselves last. To put all those before us first. To be a servant rather than being one that is served. It's a very hard thing. You ask any preacher. And it's a hard thing when the saints, a brother or sister in Christ, want to do something for you. You're out with someone. They want to pay for the meal. No, I want to pay for the meal. You don't pay for the meal. I pay for the meal. But sometimes we've got to be willing to allow others to give blessings and to receive that. But we've got to remove that barrier. Because if there's selfishness in our lives, if we're self-centered, if we're absorbed with I, me, we're blockading blessings that God wants to give us. We're preventing that. The second blockade, though, is a prayerlessness. That prayerlessness is a blockade to spiritual blessings. Since all spiritual blessings come from God, if we never take time to speak to Him and tell Him what's going on, yeah, He knows, but He wants to hear from us. He's our Heavenly Father. Just like when we call old Dad, and Dad goes, you know, why has it been 6 weeks since you called me, son? No, my dad usually goes, it's only been an hour, son. Why are you calling again real quick? Dad, I had one more question. Our Heavenly Father wants to hear from us. He wants us to come unto Him in prayer, to speak to Him, to praise Him, to give Him glory and honor, and to humble ourselves before Him and to ask Him for the things that we need in our lives, to petition Him to bless our efforts in the things that we're doing within the spiritual realms of our lives here. That with this, how do we expect to obtain them if we have prayerlessness in our lives? If we're not praying to God? If that we don't have a healthy, good prayer life? And meaning that, do you pray daily? Or do you just find yourself sometimes maybe praying at meals? Or maybe just at bedtime? Have you ever caught yourself walking through a parking lot or a store and you begin to pray? I have. Many times. Have we thought to go to God in prayer even when that wonderful blessing in our life occurs? Right at that moment to go to God and say, thank you, God, for giving me this. Or do we go, oh, that was such a blessing from God. I'm going to remember in my prayer. I'm going to put that on my prayer list for tonight. And then tonight rolls around and guess what? We're really tired because it had been a long day because we were so excited about that blessing in our life. And we fall asleep. Now, hopefully, if you fall asleep, you're like me and you wake up in the middle of the night and go, I didn't finish my prayer. And want to finish it. But where are we at? How are we doing with that? We have a loving Father. A Father that is the greatest example of all fathers to us, who desires to bless us. But we also have a Father that desires to hear from us. That He wants us to make that call unto Him. And He wants to hear from us concerning these blessings in our lives, thanking Him for them and even asking Him for them. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be opened to you. But we got to ask. We've got to seek after. We got to do our part, don't we? We can't just sit back and bring it to me, God. Where's it at? We've got to be praying to Him. Prayerless people, though, are also disobedient people. They generally are not caring about the authority of God or God's commands. And because of our failure to ask God, we will not receive His blessings. In James chapter 4 and verse 2, James says, you lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and you war, and yet you do not have, because you do not ask. You don't ask for it. Even Jeremiah indicated the prayerless people that they will not prosper. They will not have blessings in their life. In Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 21, there Jeremiah says, for the shepherds have become dull-hearted and have not sought the Lord. Therefore, they shall not prosper, and all their flock shall be scattered. Why won't they prosper? Because they haven't sought after the Lord. They weren't going to the Lord. How can we have spiritual blessings in our life if we're not praying to Him? If we're not going to Him as we need to? He's our Father, and He wants to hear from His children. He wants to hear from our own lips that we're doing okay, or that we're having a struggle, or that we need something. Yet many people set blockades of prayerlessness between them, themselves, and God, and not even knowing it. Not even knowing it. Just as I said a minute ago, how are we doing in our prayer lives? Are we only praying at meals? Are we praying at bedtime only? And even at that, sometimes are we bad about it? forgetting to. And maybe we go, oh, tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll do better. How are we doing? We've got to remove these blockades. We've got to put prayer back into our lives so God can bless us as He's so longing and desiring to bless us. And we're longing and desiring to have it. If we are not being blessed as God would let us or have us to be each and every day, take a look at our prayer life. See how we're doing. Are we going to God daily? Are we going to God multiple times a day? And when we're praying, are we praying fervently, wholeheartedly? Are we praying to the point, as Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane, that in such intensity that you're sweating as drops of blood? Have you ever shut yourself off into a room alone to pray? And even in this, I loved the movie War Room, looking at prayer, making a place, especially in our homes, that we can go to at any time. And then I pray we'd use them at any time, but just place that we can be alone with God and pray unto Him, giving Him glory and honor and praise and giving Him thanks and going to Him and asking Him for the things that we need in our lives. How is our prayer life? How are we doing? Are we doing so-so? Or are we doing great? If we're doing great, then perfect. I love it. That's what I want to hear. But if we're not, step up to it. Do more so that we can receive the blessings that we're desiring. Yet the third and most common, even to that of prayerlessness and selfishness, a blockade to spiritual blessing, is worldliness. Big shocker, wasn't it? Worldliness is a blockade to spiritual blessings. That whether we want to admit it or not, worldliness reveals the true inward life of a man or woman, of a disciple of Christ. If we truly are or are not, that by that we show what our true desires are. There in 1 John chapter 2, in verses 15 and 16, we read in verse 15, though, says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." It's not in him. But for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, what is it? He says, is not of the Father. None of these things are of our Father, but is of the world, the things around us. And with that, the world is passing away, and so is the lust of it. But he who does the will of God, what? Abides forever. How are we doing? Where are our desires lying in this life? Where's our true concerns? John is saying that the love of the Father is not in a person who loves the world, because no man can serve two masters. Jesus speaks of in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. He says, "No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon alone. You can't do this. You can't ride the fence and say, "I love God today, tomorrow I love the world. Today I love God, tomorrow I love the world." It doesn't work. We can't say, "Oh, well, I love God, but I really want to do this. And if I do this, I'm going against God." Well, just today. Doesn't work. We end up hating our Lord. That's what's going to happen. Worldliness is a blockade because it does not please God. It is not pleasing unto God for us to have worldliness in our life. That when we obeyed the gospel, that when we entered in to our new life as Christian and putting Christ on in that watery grave of baptism, becoming a new child of God, the key word there, new, we shed the world and the sins and the desires and the longings of the world and worldliness with it. We didn't say, "Here, put it on a rack at the back of the closet so when I want it, I can pull it out and wear it." We threw it away. We didn't even send it to Goodwill that somebody else may have it because we didn't want anyone else to have our sinful worldliness. We sent it to the dump to be burned, didn't we? Then we read in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8, beginning in verse 5 of Romans chapter 8 says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God." Do I even have to tell you that you got a spiritual blockade if you got worldliness in your life? If we're desiring and longing after and putting up, maybe the post-it on our fridge is about get that new, more higher-paying job, getting that bigger house, getting that better car, getting that better wardrobe, whatever it may be, instead of that first post-it of the morning that we see being, "I will serve the Lord today. All blessings will be given to Him." My grandfather that preached for over 60 years, every morning he had scriptures posted to his mirror in his bathroom where he brushed his teeth and he shaved his face every morning with his favorite scriptures so that he could start his day. Man, I'm lacking and I should do that. I don't know why I don't. Man, my grandfather was a smart man, but he was a spiritual man. We need to put God first. We cannot possibly be worldly minded and chasing after the things of the world and still be pleasing to God. Now, I'm not saying that we can't have successes in this life. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't want to provide better things for our families. But the number one needs to be God and always God. He needs to be our first love and foremost love of our lives. So if we have worldliness in our life, then we need to remove that blockade so that God can bless us as He is so greatly desiring to bless us, longing to bless us. Worldliness separates man from God, plain and simple. James chapter 4 and verse 4 says, "Adulterers and adulteries, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Let me ask you something this morning. Don't raise your hand. Don't speak aloud. But truthfully answer yourself. Do you want to be an enemy of God? Do you want to be at odds with God? If not, and you have been, let's remove that blockade. Let's remove that barrier in our life. Yet the fourth barrier to spiritual blessings is unfruitfulness. Unfruitfulness is a blockade to spiritual blessing that unfruitfulness comes from not abiding truly in Christ, not being a part of Him. In John chapter 15, there in verses 4 through 7, beginning in verse 4 says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine and ye are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Yet if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you." How are we doing in this? Do you understand fruitfulness? It doesn't mean that, you know, just everything in our life is going rosy. It means, are we spreading the gospel? Are we being that example? You know, I hear so many times from brothers and sisters in Christ that tell me, "Well, Chuck, I found over this. I've had some brethren tell me, You know, the great commandment was to the apostles only. I go, really, then where are they at today? Because how do I have it? How do you have it? It's because we took that upon ourselves. How can we do that? And I have many say, well, Chuck, you know, even at that, I'm not good. I'm not good at, you know, at teaching a Bible class or having a home Bible study, you know. And I'm even shy at giving an invitation to come to church. I can't do anything. Is that true? No, that's not true. If we're living our life every day, if we're abiding in Christ each and every day, the world is seeing it. The world is noticing it. Those that are lost in sin see God and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through every action that we do. You know, I'd always tell people, before I started preaching, I wouldn't tell anybody I was a Christian, not because I was ashamed of it, not because I didn't want people to know that I was a Christian, but I'm going to tell you, in my short 37 years of life, yeah, I'm so young, aren't I? I love it. I'm just a young guy. No. I've learned that generally the people that within the second word out of their mouth after I am Chuck, I'm a Christian, usually are the biggest disappointment to Christianity to me. That I look at and go, that is giving me and many brothers and sisters in Christ a bad name. And because of that, many people go, that's what a Christian is. I'm never going to church anywhere. But let our example, our life lead people to come to you and to say, hey. Now, I'm not saying if you can invite to church, if you can be willing to have a home Bible study, and give an invitation to a home Bible study. But if you can't do all that, live your life as the example. Be fruitful in the Lord. That by living our life, I've had people come to me over time and go, Chuck, you know, I can't just put my finger right on it, but there's something different about you. And you kind of give them that weird look like, huh? Well, nothing bad. You know, and they'll start pointing out, well, you don't do this and that everybody else does. Man, you're so good about wanting to help people. You do this, you do that. Guess what? Then I've earned the right to say, well, you know what? I should be different. I'm called to be apart from the world, separated. Because I'm a Christian. Now, I've had an impact on that person. So don't tell me I can't. That there's nothing I can do to be fruitful in the Lord. You can live your life every day as a Christian that you're called to be. And you can be fruitful, or you cannot, or you can just even use that as an excuse in your daily life to say, well, I sin and I stumble because I just can't do it. Not a good excuse. Not an excuse that even God's going to listen to. As what is said here, what's said in verse 6, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them up and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. I don't want that for any of you. I don't want that for me. We've got to be fruitful. Since all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we cannot expect to be blessed if we are not fruitful, if we are not faithful to Him, if we are not being that of the true disciples of His. Unfaithfulness is also, though, a result of a loss of a reward. That there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, reading through verse 15, says, if anyone work which he has also built on, it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. That even in this, that if we're being fruitful, that if we're doing what we need to do as disciples of Christ, no matter what comes, we will receive a reward. Things will go the way we need it to go for what we're needing in our lives. How are we doing? Are we being fruitful? Are we producing fruit in the Lord's vineyard? Or are we lacking in that? Is that our spiritual blockade that's preventing us from getting the blessings that God's desiring us to have so greatly because we're not doing what we need to do, and maybe we're that branch that's been cut off. We need to find a way back out of asking for the forgiveness that we need. Maybe in that, even that, we need to ask our brothers and sisters for the encouragement that we need to survive through all this. Yet the fifth and final blockade that I'd like for us to look at this morning is unfaithfulness. That unfaithfulness is a blockade to spiritual blessings. And according to Paul, unfaithfulness is sin. Romans chapter 14 and verse 23 says, "But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin." So anything that we are doing that is not provoked by our faith is sin. And if we are committing sin, how can we expect to be spiritually blessed? If we are then spiritually dead to our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, of course, this does not mean that if we occasionally sin that we cannot expect to be blessed, or that if we are sin and ask forgiveness that we won't be blessed. But if we are persistent in doing sinful things that are done by something other than our faith, we have no reason to expect spiritual blessings because we are spiritually dead already. We may be physically alive, but spiritually we are dead. Unfaithfulness robs the Christian of the greatest blessing, spiritual blessing that God would ever want any of us to have. That is that crown of life. We read in 2 Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, reading verses 6 through 8, beginning in verse 6 says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing." Paul's telling us about this crown of life, this crown of righteousness, that he's so excited to receive, that he's done his part to get it. He's ran the race. He stayed constant and true. And he says, "But wait, wait, guys, this isn't just for me. I'm not bragging. I'm not telling you about what I'm getting and you don't get." He says what? He finishes with, "To all who have loved His appearing." All that have His disciples, those that have stayed true unto Him, faithful unto Him. Unfaithfulness cannot please God. It will not please God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." What is that reward? Eternal heaven, or eternal home in heaven with Him and our Savior. How are we doing in this? How is our faith this morning? Is it wavering? Is it strong? Is it weak? Let me give you on a scale of 1 to 10. 1 being cold. How are we in our walk as Christians? In our spiritual passion for Him. Are we at a 1 being cold? A 5 being lukewarm like the church at Laodicea that was about to be spewed out of His mouth because they were neither cold nor hot? Or are we at a 10? Are we burning hot for the Lord? Have we got all blockades that could be there in our lives removed? Or do we have something lingering, something holding us back? That in closing, we see that there are numerous blockades in life that stand between ourselves and the blessings that God wants us to have, that He is longing to give to us. That if we desire these blessings, if we truly want them, we must do what we can to remove any blockades in our lives. And maybe this morning, that blockade for us is that we haven't even obeyed the gospel, that we haven't even taken God up on His offer of spiritual blessings through His Son. So I ask you this morning, do you have spiritual blockades in your life? Do you have something stopping spiritual blessings from God going on right now? If you do, then right now, guess what? It's the time and it is the place to start removing those. That if you need the prayers of the saints here, whatever you may be needing at this time. I'm not the most computer guy. Let me see here if I can. Oh. Randy, I don't know how this works. Close it. I like that answer. Maybe. There we go. So in that, now you know I'm not no tech guy. I'm an old bull rider and rodeo guy. I didn't know it. That stuff was coming out. But I did know my Lord. And I knew what He could do for me, and I know what He can do for you this morning. And I want to give you that opportunity. That if you're already a brother or sister in Christ and you're struggling with something in your life, you've got something that's blockading the blessings that God wants you to have. Now is the time. Now is the place to make your needs known. If you need our prayers, if you need forgiveness from the saints, maybe we've done something to offend the saints or a brother or sister. We need to get rid of those blockades. Or this morning, if you're here and you've been studying the gospel, you understand what you need to do to become a child of God. The means, we have the means available right here for you now, and it's not that PowerPoint sign, I'm telling you. But we've got water back there that can assist you in obeying the gospel, becoming a child of God, a disciple of Christ. Remove that blockade from your life this morning, because we're not guaranteed this evening, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. If we're thinking, well, I've got time. You don't have time. We don't have time. We have right now. Are we Christians? Are we living for Him as we're called to? If not, make those needs known this morning as we stand and sing the invitation song.